Our speaker today is Dr. William Pierce, the chairman of the National Alliance, which is the world's foremost organization working for the long-term interest of white Americans and for people of European ancestry wherever they may live.
Hello. Let's begin today by tying up a few loose ends from previous broadcasts. Last week, in commenting on the December 12th arrests of the head of the Jewish Defense League and his second-in-command in Los Angeles as they prepared to bomb a mosque and the office of a California congressman of Lebanese ancestry, I predicted that unless you kept a very close eye on the news, you probably wouldn't hear a peep from the Jewish media bosses about these arrests, that the Jews would attempt to protect their own, just as they have covered up for numerous terrorist acts by the Jewish Defense League in the past, and also have covered up for a long history of criminal activity and gangland associations by the Jewish Anti-Defamation League. Actually, there was more news coverage of this latest Jewish Defense League terrorism than I expected. The best coverage outside the Los Angeles area was in the Washington Times, which is not owned or controlled by Jews. But there also were two pretty good stories in the December 16th issue of the very Jewish New York Times. I hadn't yet seen those New York Times stories when I prepared last week's broadcast. In my October 13th broadcast, I quoted part of a cabinet meeting debate between Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and Israeli Foreign Minister Shimon Peres that supposedly was broadcast on a Hebrew language radio station in Jerusalem, Kol Yisrael, in which Sharon angrily told Peres to stop worrying about how Americans might respond to the actions of the Israeli government because America is firmly under Jewish control. A couple of listeners questioned me about that, saying that they were unable to find any source for the quote I used. Well, in my broadcast, I mentioned that I hadn't been able to find Sharon's statement in print myself. What I meant was that I hadn't been able to find it in any English-language Jewish publication, which is what I normally require to establish the credibility of such a statement. I did see the statement in an English-language Palestinian publication, but I really shouldn't have relied solely on that. I should have gotten it straight from the horse's mouth. I find the statement Sharon supposedly made easy enough to believe, because that's the sort of thing other Jews, more cautious and less boastful than Sharon, have said. But I should not have relied solely on a source hostile to Sharon and to the Jews generally. At this point, I really don't know whether Sharon made the statement I quoted or not. I'll try to be more careful about my sources in the future. Now let's talk about Attorney General John Ashcroft and his job as America's chief law enforcement officer. Every time I see Ashcroft on television, he sends cold shivers down my spine. Look at that cold, puritanical expression on his face. He's the type of man who believes that he has a God-given right to read your mail, to listen to your private telephone conversations, and to torture a confession from you if he suspects that you have bad thoughts about the government. He is looking forward to the New World Order, where he expects that there will be an even greater degree of regimentation of citizens, and he really can crack down hard on anyone who gets out of line. Ashcroft's main regret is that he did not live in the Soviet Union 75 years ago, where he could have converted to Judaism, become commissar for the Cheka, and organized mass shootings of dissidents in the cellars of the secret police. I don't know what sort of sexual abuse Ashcroft was subjected to as a child that made him what he is, but I believe that it is his Czechist personality that makes him such a worshipful admirer of Israel and the Israelis. He really respects a country that permits its police to torture prisoners, that practices collective punishment of the families of children who throw rocks at soldiers, and of villages that are suspected of harboring resistance fighters, and that has a genocidal mass murderer as its prime minister. Ashcroft is an ardent supporter of George Bush's policy of collective punishment, a policy apparently inspired by Israel. If the Israelis suspect that a Palestinian resistance fighter has been hiding in a village, they send in tanks and bulldozers to level the village. If George Bush believes that an alleged terrorist is hiding in a country, he sends in cruise missiles and B-52s to bomb the country back into the Stone Age. That policy doesn't apply to Israel, of course. If it did, our Middle Eastern problem would have been solved a long time ago. Unfortunately, that problem still is very much with us. One aspect of the problem recently came to light after the September 11th attack, when the FBI began rounding up and interrogating illegal aliens who came here from Middle Eastern countries, including Israel. What the FBI uncovered is the largest espionage ring ever to operate in America. Actually, the investigation of Israeli spying began before September 11th, and many Jewish spies already had been identified. According to a Fox News report 2 weeks ago, as many as 140 Jewish spies already had been arrested before September 11th, but there had been very little publicity about these arrests. The Bush government and most of the media were hoping no one would notice. The post-September 11th roundup of Middle Easterners uncovered another 60 or so Israelis engaged in espionage inside the United States and brought the previously secret investigation of Israeli espionage into the open, or at least more nearly into the open than before. The lemmings still are so busy watching their ball games that they haven't noticed. Several very disturbing revelations have come out of this roundup. One is a very strong hint that the Jews here, through their spying on other Middle Easterners in the United States, had gained prior knowledge of the September 11th attack, but did not share their information with the U.S. government. I reported my own suspicions in this regard immediately after the attack. But since then, Fox News has reported even stronger suspicions among FBI investigators. A Fox News report of December 12th by reporter Carl Cameron says, and I quote, "There is no indication the Israelis were involved in the September 11th attacks, but investigators suspect that they may have gathered intelligence about the attacks in advance and not shared it." End of quote. Well, of course, we expect that sort of behavior on the part of the Jews. Once they had gathered their own information about the impending attack, which they anticipated with glee because it could only generate hostility between the United States and Israel's enemies in the Middle East, they saw no reason to warn Americans and thereby forestall the attack. So they waited quietly for the attack, and then as soon as it happened, began urging that the United States wage war against Israel's enemies. This is the sort of thing that both the Israelis and the Israel-worshipping Bush government would like to keep quiet, and the FBI is being very tight-lipped about it now. But I will not be surprised to see the beans spilled about the Jewish foreknowledge of the attack as the investigation proceeds. The reason I say that is that the roundup of Jewish spies has revealed many other things about Israeli activities that are damaging to Americans, and it will be very difficult for the government and the media to keep everything covered up. Here's an example. As the government has become increasingly intrusive, snooping into every aspect of our lives, the need for telephonic wiretaps and other forms of electronic surveillance has risen dramatically. You might be surprised to learn that the government doesn't do most of the electronic snooping itself. The work has become quite high-tech these days and is farmed out to private companies that specialize in electronic eavesdropping and in the storage and analysis of intercepted data. There are a number of companies in the United States and elsewhere that have the equipment and the expertise to do this very sophisticated work. Guess which companies our government uses to spy on us? The two companies that do nearly all of this work for the federal government are both located in Israel. Did you get that? The politicians who run our government decided that the country that gave us Jonathan Pollard and the murderous assault on the USS Liberty, the country run by the most notorious war criminal now on the loose, the country that is the world capital of the white slave trade and that holds a monopoly on the distribution of several illegal drugs in the United States, is the country we should trust to help us catch our criminals and spies and keep an eye on the private business of our citizens. Really, most state and local agencies also depend on the same two Israeli companies. I'll quote again directly from a Fox News report by Carl Cameron, this one dated December 13th. Quote, "Here's how the system works. Most directory assistance calls and virtually all call records and billing in the U.S. are done for the phone companies by Amdocs Limited, an Israeli-based private telecommunications company. Amdocs has contracts with the 25 biggest phone companies in America and more worldwide. The White House and other secure government phones are protected, but it is virtually impossible to make a call on normal phones without generating an Amdocs record of it. In recent years, the FBI and other government agencies have investigated Amdocs more than once. The firm has repeatedly and adamantly denied any security breaches or wrongdoing. But sources tell Fox News that in 1999, the super-secret National Security Agency, headquartered in Northern Maryland, issued what's called a top-secret, sensitive, compartmentalized information report, TS/SCI, warning that records of calls in the United States were getting into foreign hands, in Israel in particular." End of quote. Indeed, there has been more than one warning about the misuse of confidential communications. Law enforcement officials have reported that they are certain that their own communications have been intercepted by criminals they were investigating. They believe that the interception of their communications has led to the murder of several of their confidential informants and otherwise has hampered their investigations of illegal drug distribution by crime syndicates. And I should mention that the fastest growing illegal drug syndicate in the United States during the past decade is the syndicate that distributes the drug known as ecstasy. This syndicate is entirely Jewish, and most of the Jews in the illegal distribution of ecstasy in the United States are Israeli nationals. No wonder that business has been good for them. Well, Jewish organized crime got a big boost in 1994 during the Clinton administration with the passage of a new law, the so-called Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act, or CALEA for short. What the public was told about CALEA is that it would increase public safety by providing new tools for the cops to go after the bad guys. It would centralize and expedite the business of wiretapping, making it easier for law enforcement to eavesdrop on communications with criminals. Well, to tell the truth, easier to eavesdrop on everybody. The key to CALEA was its centralizing of wiretap operations, so that now any law enforcement official in the country who needs a wiretap knows where to go. He goes to a private company that specializes in providing wiretapping services and equipment. Now I will quote again from a Fox News report. This one was broadcast last week. I quote, "The company is Comverse Infosys, a subsidiary of an Israeli-run private telecommunications firm with offices throughout the U.S. It provides wiretapping equipment for law enforcement. Here's how wiretapping works in the U.S. Every time you make a call, it passes through the nation's elaborate network of switchers and routers run by the phone companies. Custom computers and software made by companies like Comverse are tied into that network to intercept, record, and store the wiretapped calls, and at the same time transmit them to investigators. The manufacturers have continuing access to the computers so they can service them and keep them free of glitches. This process was authorized by the 1994 Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act, or CALEA. Senior government officials have now told Fox News that while CALEA made wiretapping easier, it has led to a system that is seriously vulnerable to compromise and may have undermined the whole wiretapping system. The complaint about this system is that the wiretap computer programs made by Comverse have, in effect, a back door through which wiretaps themselves can be intercepted by unauthorized parties. Adding to the suspicions is the fact that in Israel, Comverse works closely with the Israeli government and under special programs gets reimbursed for up to 50% of its research and development costs by the Israeli Ministry of Industry and Trade. But investigators within the DEA, INS, and FBI have all told Fox News that to pursue or even suggest Israeli spying through Comverse is considered career suicide." End of quote. Now, I'll repeat just the last sentence of that quote from the December 17th Fox News report. "Investigators within the Drug Enforcement Administration, the Immigration and Naturalization Service, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation have all told Fox News that to pursue or even suggest Israeli spying through Comverse is considered career suicide." Did you get that? And the Fox News report goes on to say that every FBI inquiry into Comverse has been halted before the actual equipment could be tested for leaks. And that's not all that's been halted. This series of Fox News reports by reporter Carl Cameron, from which I have quoted, was available on the Internet from the Fox News website through the early part of last week. The report I just quoted, which was the third in what was intended to be a four-part series, was posted on December 17th. But as you can imagine, our chosen minority did not like the series. A December 20th story from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency says, and I quote, "Jewish organizations have been receiving frantic calls from Jews concerned that the reports may fuel anti-Semitism." Did you get that? The Fox News reports were making Jews frantic. The Jewish Telegraphic Agency story also says, and again I quote, "American Jewish leaders and Israeli officials said that they are holding conversations with Fox News representatives but refused to elaborate," end quote. Well, that JTA story was from December 20th, and apparently the conversations between Jewish leaders and Fox News were effective, because within 24 hours, the Fox News series on Israeli spying was canceled, and the three installments that already had been broadcast were yanked from the Internet and dropped into the memory hole as if they never had existed. You'll look for them in vain at the Fox News site now. The only places you'll find them are on sites that copied them from the Fox News sites before Fox News was pressured into pulling them. To me, the most interesting information in this Fox News series really is old news to a lot of people in the government and the media. The FBI and other government agencies knew what these Jewish companies, Amdocs and Comverse Infosys, were doing a long time ago. They knew that Israeli organized crime was getting information about U.S. government, business, and private telephone conversations, and also about U.S. law enforcement wiretaps, and was using this information for criminal purposes to the detriment of Americans. They also knew that they were supposed to pretend that they didn't know, or else career suicide. The only politically correct position for the bureaucrats and politicians and media people to take is that Jews are just like us, except for a different religion, and that Israelis are just like Americans, with the same values and interests we have. Israel is our brave, friendly little democratic ally. To suggest that the Jews not only are fundamentally and irremediably different from us, but that they have been since Old Testament times in a state of undeclared war with the rest of the world, a war waged primarily through deception and betrayal and behind-the-scenes influence, and that Israel is no ally, but is a vampire clinging to America's back and sucking our blood while betraying us at every turn, to suggest this basic truth simply is unthinkable to this career-oriented crowd. So the politicians and bureaucrats looked on the Israeli access to our telephone information and the misuse of this information as merely a detail, an aberration, not to be mentioned lest it damage U.S.-Israeli relations and their careers. Whereas to me, it is one more confirmation of a basic and cosmically important truth. Actually, the Jews reported by the Jewish Telegraphic Agency as screaming frantically about the series of Fox News reports weren't worried primarily about the revelations as to what Amdocs and Comverse Infosys have been up to. That's something too complicated for the lemmings to understand anyway. What worried the Jews about the Fox News reports was the suggestion that the Israelis knew in advance about the September 11th attack and didn't tell us. That's a betrayal that even the lemmings can understand. That's a betrayal that even the politicians and bureaucrats who take the position I just outlined, namely that Jews are just like us and Israel is our ally, can use as an excuse to change their position. That's what the Jews really are afraid of. I'll quote one more paragraph from the December 17th Fox News report about the Israeli penetration of our wiretap system. I quote, "And what troubles investigators most, particularly in New York, in the counterterrorism investigation of the World Trade Center attack, is that on a number of cases, suspects that they had sought to wiretap and survey immediately changed their telecommunications processes. They started acting much differently as soon as those supposedly secret wiretaps went into place." End of quote. It's information of this sort, hinting that the Israelis not only knew about the September 11th attack in advance, but now are doing everything they can to hinder the American investigation into the attack that the Jews don't want the American people to have. They don't want the American people to think that they have been betrayed by Israel. That is why the Fox News series was canceled last week, and the parts that already had been published were pulled from public access and tossed down the memory hole. Well, regardless of what eventually comes out about what the Israelis knew before September 11th, it is clear that Israel has been engaged in an ongoing betrayal of America. What is an even greater betrayal of America than that, however, is what Attorney General John Ashcroft and George Bush and the rest of the politicians and bureaucrats in Washington have been engaged in throughout their careers. Thanks for being with me again today.
You have been listening to a presentation of American Dissident Voices. The speaker was Dr. William Pierce, chairman of the National Alliance. The program was sponsored as a public service by National Vanguard Books, America's foremost supplier of patriotic books and tapes. For $2, we'll send you our newest 72-page illustrated catalog with descriptions and ordering information for more than 600 books and tapes of interest to patriots. Many of the items in the National Vanguard Books catalog are available nowhere else. Our mailing address is National Vanguard Books, Post Office Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.